So welcome, everyone. I am Janet C. in New Jersey, a grateful, recovering, and I use that word not lightly, overeater, sugar for sure, sugar addict. I have been on these meetings probably 2 or 3 months. And so when Brandy approached me and asked if I wanted to be the speaker, I went a little nervous and a little feeling a little unworthy to do so. But when I did tell her my story, she felt that, and I did it with this, with all the honesty I had, she felt that there might be some things that will help somebody or something you might need to hear. So the disclaimer I make, because disclaimers are wonderful, is that I do it with complete honesty. I may touch buttons, or I may say things that you don't necessarily agree with as a program. So I can really only speak for myself and what has worked and not worked for me over 25 years. I always like to say that sugar was my best friend, because they tell the story. I was a preemie at birth and they thought I weighed over 5 pounds. And when they brought me home a week later, I was only 4'13". And so my parents took a 5 pound bag of sugar and put it on the scale and we balanced. So there we were, teeter totter as a newborn. For as long as I could remember, sugar was a draw. I came from a home of healthy eaters. None of the family were compulsive eaters. My parents were very, very much into nutrition. So I have to say it wasn't from being fed or overfed as a child. If there was a dessert, it was always at the end of a meal. It was a small piece. There was nothing. There was no real junk in the house. So I look at that and I say, so where did this come from? You know, this was not taught. This was not a way of life in my home. I came to realize, of course, as time went on, that this was a problem that I had, an allergy that I had, that nobody in the family seemed to have. Of course, I didn't call it an allergy or an illness until 50 years later, when I walked into OA for the first time. I still remember as a little girl being amazed that my friend's mother could put a bowl of, and I say candy because our good conscience said that we could say that, on the table in the living room, and it was there the next day and the next day. And I would devise games with my friend so that she was doing something in the kitchen so that I could grab that stuff and eat it and then smooth it out so nobody would see it. I was a little girl. I was 6 years old. And again, nothing that I had ever seen. Time went on and it only got worse. I would bring in, I didn't at that point in my life, I really was not buying sugary things. I was not at that point, it hadn't gotten to the point that it would get to. I do also want to say that I have to be honest and say, I do not know what it feels like to really be overweight. That part I don't have. So I can't talk to that shame. I can't talk to the shame of a large body or clothes that really didn't fit. And so I assumed that I just was weak-willed and sugar was just what I wanted and I liked it and the heck with it, it wasn't making a difference anyway. And that's, I think, the way it was for a while. It stayed, that monster stayed down until it roared its head and sugar was all that I was eating. As life became more complicated, I needed more serotonin. I needed more dopamine, and that was my drug of choice. I just didn't know it. At the age of, I don't know, my first child was a year old. My brother-in-law came from Israel with something like Nutella that they make now. And we had never seen that. And I started eating it on bread and then by the spoonful. and then frozen, and then brought it into a neighbor's house and said, on penalty of death, do not give this back to me. And of course, the sugar went here, and as sugar can do, it then went down, my sugar levels, and I was literally banging on her door to get this back. She wasn't home. And so I managed to find a substitute for that, where I will tell you that for me, it was actually a physical. And for the first time, I thought, this must be what an alcoholic or a drug addict feels like. I was in my late 20s, early 30s, and I had never made that connection, that it was anything but weak will, anything but my need to have this sugar, and that I could control it, because for God's sakes, it's only sugar. And it got worse and it got worse, to the point where the small size bar was not big enough and I needed the family. I tell the story that when my parents were well enough and they were living on their own, I went to visit my mother, and she bought this large family size thing and offered me a piece. And I figured, well, I'm going home today, so how much damage could that do? So I took that piece and I was fine. And then they went out. I had to stay over because traffic had amassed, and they went out. And when I tell you, I couldn't wait for them to get out that door. I could not wait. And I took the rest of this and I finished it. I finished a family size in one eating, one sitting, I should say. And then I took the wrapper and I put it into my overnight case and figured, they're old. They're not going to remember they even bought this. And so, of course, they came home and they said, my mother said, Morty, you want a piece of chocolate? And he said, sure. And she looked at me and I was like this. And she said, you couldn't have. And I said, I did. And it went from there to teaching, where there were goodies on the table in the teacher's room. And I didn't care. My room was next to the teacher's room. And I didn't care that there would be nothing left for anybody. I left the children, not far, they were next door, but I left the children to go in and get another thing. I would buy stuff and put it in my trunk and stop at a red light to get that out because I couldn't concentrate on my driving. And again, I felt less well about myself and felt that this was really, I swore on people. I swore on my mother that if I can stop eating this, my mother will live to an old age. I would do it on anything. And it worked for a short time. And then there they were, that they lived till 100, I have no idea. And I went to Weight Watchers and I tried every, you know, the cabbage soup diet. I tried it all. And on Weight Watchers, I exchanged everything for so that I could get my sugar fix. Yes. Sorry. Excuse me. And then, I'm so sorry. So when I went to Weight Watchers, and I realized that this was something that I was not going to get a hold on, and feeling so bad about myself. And then it started. And then I started throwing up. I was eating enough, and that scared me enough to get to OA. That scared me. That went beyond. Let me take this. Timing is everything. I came to OA desperate. And when I called and I said to the woman on the hotline, I don't have a lot of weight to lose. And she said to me, you will find people here heavier. you will find people thinner. The only thing you need to know is that you are a compulsive overeater. And I came to the program and I didn't read because I have ADHD also. I never read the little disclaimer. If you are not working the program, don't speak. In other words, if you haven't started this program, I was so excited to hear my story, to hear people talk about the fact that they ate out of the garbage, that they brought the food into the car, that they stole food from the supermarket, that they made promises like this, that they restricted and they had cabbage soup for a week. And I thought, oh my God, I am here. I am home. And so I started my journey. I'm just looking to make sure I have enough time. I started my journey in OA. I was on the OA honeymoon for a number of weeks. In fact, what kept me on was my sponsor had lost, my very first sponsor, had lost a ton of weight. And I thought to myself, how will I go back a week later and say, I couldn't stay on this program for 1 week and this woman lost 100 plus pounds. And so I stayed on it. And every morning, every day I said, no, this is my last day. I'm not going to do this anymore. But they said, give it a day. And of course, waking up abstinent was a very good feeling and certainly new. And so I did this and I started and I thought they have the answer. I was having three weighed and measured meals with nothing in between. I was having lots of vegetables. I thought, nourished, I'm nourished. That's all I needed. I needed good food to nourish my body. That sounded good and worked for a little while. And I would say that my abstinence was I could go sometimes 5-6 months. If I lost my abstinence, I was shamed for myself. And in a way at the newcomers meetings, because they had the abstinent people stand and they had sponsors that were available for newcomers, not completely. I don't want to say that it was, you know, that wasn't the feeling of the rooms. They were very welcoming. But I remember I changed sponsors once and I lost my abstinence. And she said to me, this is the last call you're going to make to me. If you lose your abstinence again, please don't call back. So that was there. I was connecting shame and the counting of the days as if that was magical. If there really is any difference between 300 days and the day you are abstinent, the day you could put your head on the pillow and say, I didn't eat today. I ate abstinently. And so I have had one wonderful sponsor except for the two little blurps. I have had the same wonderful sponsor. I have lost abstinence any number of times. The good news is that except for losing my brother this year and getting back into the sugar, I have really been pretty sugar-free. Have I been abstinent? No. But I have learned over the years that no matter what I try, I cannot put sugar back in. It's just a matter of time. I think I had referred one time to Russian roulette. It works this time. It works that time. It works, but it's coming and it's coming for me. So I have been very lucky, though I have lost abstinence, to not really go on binges because I knew OA was out there for me. I knew I had a place to go that no matter what, I could come in and be accepted and be loved. I didn't have to search for the next, what am I going to do now? What diet am I going to try now? What miracle do they have out there? That never was a problem for me anymore. I just came in, I put my head up and I said, here I am. I will try it for a day. And I also, over these years, with a little wisdom from growing older, I look at my abstinence and I ask myself, what is it really? I don't know what yours is. I have no idea how wide your abstinence is or how many foods it encompasses. Maybe that makes it easier. Maybe you're abstinent, one is abstinent, I should say, because again, there are more choices, or it's less Spartan, or it's less restrictive, but maybe not. But I have had to work on what feels like abstinence in my mind, and to call it a break, and to not break, and thank you, and to not break down over that, to see what lesson I can learn from that. You thought that that didn't have sugar, or you thought that wasn't sexy, even if it didn't have sugar. What was the mouthfeel of that? Had you committed to something and then saw something, even a little small something of sugar, and say, I can work that in, and what is it anyway? But if I do it, I won't beat myself up about it anymore. I will take it as a lesson, because the days of counting abstinence for me do not work. I have to take it every day. And of course, nobody's going to say one should play mind games. I know what 3 weeks or a month feels like. It's wonderful. But if I have it and I lose it, and I prevent myself from going on a binge because of it, or I feel less than because of it, then that is where I get into trouble. That's where I can go on a binge. That's where, stupid you couldn't do one day more. Well, I'll show you what one day more looks like. And I'm too old for that. I don't want to go there. I want to be abstinent. For the most part, I am. But for me, the secret is to learn the lesson from what I did and stop it before it becomes full blown. So I want to thank all of you for being here, for really being part of the family, for all your service, for the opportunity of giving me this service. And I hope that, again, this may not be everything that you wanted to hear, or you may not agree with a lot of, you know, the way I feel. But I asked God before I came on here to make my words smart and hopeful for those who are listening to me. And I am grateful from the bottom of my heart for having had this opportunity. So thank you very much. I pass.